hot microphone go.
For the Purpose Critique and Review, Positive Vibes, Education, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast is proudly to present...
It's the Carlo Driggs Voodoo Dance Party number 8.
I like that song. Bop, boop, baby, dance with you all night long.
The song is simply called Bop, and I've been putting it off, playing it, but I wanted to get this podcast put together. I'm Wayne McKinnon, your Carlo Driggs Legacy of Music curator.
And I'm Jersey Mike on the East Coast, known as the curator of Carlo Driggs is Voodoo Dance Party Junior Nerd. How are you tonight, Wayne?
I am doing well. So here's the thing, one little explanation why these songs are going to sound a little bit rough in the podcast. Okay, so normally we do the podcast and we play the songs through the board. And then when it comes to editing, I pump them back through with clean versions. But my internet has been down like crazy. It has just been insane. So I got tired of putting this podcast off because there's lots of stuff to share here, and I just wanted to get this going. So we're playing the music live through the board. I'm going to upload the song Bop a little bit later to the Raider Rooter webpage so you can have a listen to it in its entirety, because it needs to be done.
And you're the curator who the information, like the football, was passed on to. Let's start getting the first and tens and start scoring on our way to a touchdown.
Yeah, so let me give you, you might say to yourself, where have I heard that song before? Okay, so I went back to Florida, and this was back in June, around June 20th. I got about 75 cassette tapes. There's about 75 CDs and a mixture of DVDs from Carlo's, I'm going to call his musical legacy collection. This is what was left behind. I brought them back. I'm basically doing a digital transfer of everything for Tabitha and Isabel, so at least they can have all this stuff cleaned up, and she's gracious enough to let us share it here on the podcast.
Which is amazingly nice of her and her daughter, since not easy passing on you somebody who passed away who you love more than life itself, but you want to get that legacy out there. And Wayne, I think you're the only guy that would do it, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, I got in to start getting into the tapes. We're going to talk about a bit about it first, but I want to talk about the song Bop. The first cassette tape I saw and found that got my attention was a tape that had the Warner Music label on it. Okay, big Warner.
Oh,
big
my company. Gosh, wow.
It has the name on it. It just says Bop. There's pictures of this I already posted on the Raider Rooter webpage. Eventually, I'm going to get a Pagarlo Driggs Voodoo Dance Party Facebook, though we can put it all directly, and also an Instagram page. But without the internet, I can't do that because I need my desktop computer here.
Technology has its twists and turns, like a good strawberry vanilla chocolate sundae. It tastes good, but there's always a side effect to it, good and bad.
So anyway, on the cassette tape, it says Bop. And then there's a name that says Stephen Dorff, D-O-R-F-F. I Googled that, and he is a well-known country music writer from the 70s and 80s. If you want to look him up, you can. But he doesn't. He may have been working A&R, which is Artist and Repertoire, for the time, maybe at Warner Music. Most of the stuff that I have found is basically just, you know, we're not crossing T's and dotting I's. We're more like we're dotting T's and crossing I's here, because we're just kind of putting things together, the best that I can assume on this song. But it was a hit for a country musician named Dan Seal. Why does that name sound familiar? Because he is the young brother of Jim Seal of Seals and Croft.
Wow.
Dan Seal also had a number one song you might know back in the early 80s, a duet with Marie Osmond called Meet Me in Montana.
Oh, wow.
The song was released in October 1985 from his album. The song went number one on the country charts, number 10 on the U.S. adult contemporary charts, and just bubbled under the top 40 on the Hot 100 at number 42.
Wow.
It also went number one and number six on the respectable charts in Canada as well.
Okay. So this is not just America, it's a little twist of Canada, a little twist of Cuba, a lot of different good twists of music coming here.
A lot of twists, and I went looking for more story behind the song. I found on Facebook, buried in the pages, classic country music stories, the story behind the song Bop. And I'm going to kind of summarize this a little bit. It was written by a guy named Paul Davis and Jennifer Kimball. All right, so I'm kind of scrolling through down here because it's got some. It's where I think the song was going to be offered to the Raiders, but you know, hey, what has happened? What is it? Just somebody put the kibosh on it somewhere. I'm not going to go into that and just let it be, okay? So initially, the song was written and it was being shopped around. A Capitol executive named Lim Schultz brought the song to producer, a guy named Kyle Lenning. When the album was almost complete, Dan Seal's next album, they relayed a copy of it to him. But the song Bop was being held for a new movie that was in production in Hollywood, some sort of teen dance picture. Seals and Lenning still wanted to record the song and keep close tabs on its status. Finally, after several weeks, I'm reading this from the page, finally, after several weeks on hold, bop was lifted, and the tune was no longer being considered for the movie, okay? That based right there, this was about the time, there's no date on this, but around the time that's released, I'm going to say October 1985, Paul Revere and the Raiders were, if I remember, they were doing that rock and roll summer action TV appearance that Dick Clark had. If you remember, we played a few of one of the songs from that.
Yes, I do. Wow. So you think that kind of blocked it, huh?
I don't think that blocked it, but I think somehow, somewhere there, the Raiders were being considered. Remember how I've talked about the Raiders? It's always had a feeling that they would have gone towards country music, or what I like to refer to as that NASCAR fan genre.
Yes, the NASCAR fan based genre that has all the NASCAR, like the, you know, what they call them, groupies for the drivers, for the girls, you know, the girls.
Yeah,
love the hot drivers, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I mean,
gotcha.
I mean, because that they were on tours at the fairs, you know, just endless road shows of the car shows and things. They were in good hands. I think they would have been a good scope for that. But you can analyze that to seven ways of sideways of Sundays, and it doesn't matter. But I think this could have been a song that was in consideration for the Raiders. It could have been their dedication back. I mean, in the numbers of number one in the country, number 10 on the adult contemporary charts, and just bubble under the top 40 on the Hot 100. I think this could have been a current then Raiders, Paul Revere and the Raiders, re-entering the charts in the 80s.
Wow, that would have been something nice.
It would have been, you know, but hey, maybe in another alternate universe. I always thought it would have been so cool to hear Casey Kasem talk about or say a story, you know, for here's your AT-40 extra, and then talk about the Raiders climbing back into the charts and then play.
Wow.
So I'm not going to do the Casey Kasem voice. Let's play the song one more time, and then we're going to get talking. I'm going to get talking into about all the tapes and the massive amount of stuff work I got ahead of me, okay?
Sounds good. Bop again.
Bop again.
Yeah.
And there you just bopped again.
Hey, you know what that reminds you of? That's like one of those, what do they call that, teen magazine, Dream Teen magazine, with, like, they had Sean Cassidy and
yes.
James Parker, the Hardy Boys. They had the musical groups. I could see the Raiders on something like that. Like you said, hey, back they are into the music scene. Dream Team, Teen Dream, the Raiders, and here they are, pop with your baby. You know what I mean? Could have saw that. But like you said, what was the holdup? What wasn't? We're not going to surmise. Nothing you can do.
Somewhere, I'd like to think, and, you know, I like the comic books and stuff and the alternate universes and so forth. I just think somewhere that maybe in an alternate universe, that was their reentry into the top 40, followed by numerous of other hits for the time frame when Carlo was with the Raiders. Because let's get on with it. We got a lot of things to run through here. So I have a lot of cassette tapes. I have a lot of DVDs I got to go through. And when I went to clean, I'm not going to say clean, when I went to obtain them, it was on a Sunday when I was down there, very hot out. Rose, who is Tabitha's mom, she went with me. She took me to the storage locker, went through about 20 large cube boxes, the large ones. They're about, you know, like 3 feet square. Going through and grabbing every CD, every cassette tape, anything that looked like an audio tape or an audio unit, something that had something on it. While going through things, my mind is remembering all the different kinds of conversations of different things that we might have had. So I've got a few points here that I want to talk about, things that I saw that we're going to be getting to. And then we're going to play a few of the songs from one of the audio cassette tapes that I believe is from 1981. It's got six songs on it, and well, let's get into it. Okay, you ready?
Ready to roll.
All right. So a long time ago, I remember Carlo had a song he wrote called "Burning Flame," and it's not the Elvis "Burning Flame," but it's kind of an Elvish-ish. Is that a word? Elvish-ish-ish?
You just made it up. Elvis to Elf-ish-ish Elvis. It doesn't matter. It's all squirrel serendipity for positive cause.
It was Elvis-ish. But a song called "Burning Flame." I remember seeing that he had it on a CD at his house. I've never saw it before. I said, can I take that and copy it? I copied it on my computer, but I accidentally, for whatever reason, lost the file. I saw the tape in there that has "Burning Flame" on it, so I got that. Eventually, we'll get
awesome.
To that. That's one of them. Another one. I got to cross these off as we go. And back, anyone who has ever read the book "History Repeats Itself" that was written on the Paul Revere slanted side of the view of it, whatever it is done. Carlo took over the band, and there was kind of a maybe sort of not hint that he was given an audio tape that he listened to, and he confirmed the story to me that when he was coming out to audition for the first time for, you know, to meet Paul and so forth, they gave him an audio tape that was like a soundboard of Michael Bradley from one of the Raiders concert that had all the hits on it. He said that he put it into his Walkman, fell asleep on the airplane, listened to it maybe 4 times, and the songs just kind of sunk into his head, all the Raider hits. Somewhere in these, I asked him, do you know whatever happened to that Michael Bradley tape? He says, I have no idea. So somewhere in this congeal of tapes, there might be the Michael Bradley tape. That was the audio tape that he listened to when he first went to audition for the Raiders. We may find
out. Nice. You might have come across lost treasure.
There's lots of lost treasure here. I don't remember where I read it or where I came across before I got to know Carlo. He had written, somewhere I heard, he had like 200 or 300 songs in the can. Can meaning all done, ready to, in some sort of state of finish. And this could be it. You know, there's all kind, it's immaculate what's here. But let me throw out 2 more facts here, and then we're going to play one of the songs from this first demo tape here, okay? He told me that he'd never had a studio version of Raiders Theme, which is on the Generic Rock album. That's a song from a play that production that he was writing called The Johnnies, which was a gang. And it was the Johnnies theme, which he had transferred to the Raiders. There's an audio tape in there that's labeled. It says on it, just says, The Johnnies, 4 Raiders. The number 4, 4 Raiders. This could be either an alternate version of The Johnnies or maybe a demo version of it. I have no idea. We'll get to it eventually. And then next, there's a tape that's labeled just as generic rock, sides one and side two. This could be a different song lineup before it was released, because they always do the test pressings of vinyl LPs for people to listen to. This could be a whole different mix, could be a whole different universe of the take on the generic rock, the first double LP, or Still Live, as they call it, from 1984. I don't know. We'll get to it eventually. Let's play a song, shall we?
Ready to roll.
All right.
1981.
I am assuming this is from 1981. This is a song simply called Winning, as it says on the label. I will, as we go through this adventure and put them all on the Facebook page for people to listen to and into the podcast, I will take pictures of the cassette tapes and the CDs and let everyone see them. But this is the first song on this tape. It's called Winning. I think it's from 1981.
Winning in 81. I love it.
And I apologize for it. We're playing this through the board live as we do this podcast. Eventually, we will bring this back to you when I get the internet back so you can hear it clearly. But here it is, Winning. Doesn't that sound like a song that could have been on Baywatch or maybe on the TV series Knight Rider?
I was going to say, believe it or not, I could see them doing that in like one of those Nancy Drew Hardy Boy movies, like when you have one of those crazy scenes where like somebody was chasing Pamela or whatever her name was, and you can see that song, like, I don't know, something in that, like a, not a gory way, but like, you know, like the suspenseful way, but Your Way, My Way, it's just catchy. It's got a lot of different avenues it could go.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell it's basic demo because it's a drum machine they're playing, and that's my opinion. It could have been on Knight Rider or a TV show.
Cool TV show like the Nancy, like you said, Knight Rider, Baywatch, Nancy Drew Mysteries. It depends on the time frame. Yeah. That could even still be used today.
It could be. I mean, it's the nostalgia is always big. Nostalgia will always be big. So anyway, let me get back to the list before we play the next song, okay? Going back to the Rock and Roll Scrooge Christmas special, where the Raiders did Jingle Bells and Jingle Bell Rock. I remember talking to Carl once about that as we posted him up on the Facebook page, on his Facebook page. He was telling me almost all the musicians in that show special that he and Omar had to get together, and along with the Raiders, and they were basically doing the basic track, the music from behind them, of which, you know, like Three Dog Night, who's also in it, and they did all the music for the show.
Wow, so Three Dog Night and them. That's a pretty heavy lineup, man.
I hope I can find these other Christmas songs that were from there. Of basically, the Raiders, Carlo recorded what they call a voice track for the song, so that when the person is recording their own version of it, they listen to it, and they basically, they're just mimicking and miming the sounds and the words, the lyrics at the exact same time.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. You might come upon some kind of, scrap gold that nobody knows about and find like a diamond, you know what I mean? Something like really incredible.
There's a lot of diamond stuff here. I mean,
wow. All
right. Some people don't know Carl Driggs. He was really good at reading Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat, and basically he did it for some of the schools here in Las Vegas. I never got a chance to see him do it. He would put the funny hat on, before he moved from Las Vegas to Florida. One of the schools, I think it's where Isabel was going, they had him come in, and it was a big deal. He basically was reading Cat in the Hat, Walk It in My Pocket, and Green Eggs and Ham, and he does all the voices for it. Never seen it, never heard it, but there is a DVD. They were going to show it on the news, but the news people said, no, we can't show him reading it because it's going to get us into trouble lawsuit-wise with Dr. Seuss, which I can understand.
Oh, exactly, yeah, wow.
This is a DVD. I got a transfer, and
it seems like you got a lot of stuff to do over the next 6, 8, 10 months, you know, a little here, a little there, when the internet comes up, when you have time. You know, you got to polish off the box of treasures you run there. Now it's time to get them unearthed.
Well, I've been watching some of the episodes of the cartoon of Guardians of the Galaxy, and Star-Lord Peter Quill, he always uses metaphors for the 80s songs that he listens to on a cassette tape, and I just was watching one of them, and then Drax refers to his Walkman as the Oracle of Metaphor. I made the purchase of an Oracle of Metaphor, but I need to put my next purchase is going to be the Oracle of Metaphor for CDs. And so I can start doing transfers on those. So everything is coming. It just takes time. Let's get back.
Hey, listen, I'm over here on the East Coast, and it has been hot in Vegas, I heard, and here we're humid. So it's kind of just like one of those summers that you're happy to do a podcast, and you're super happy to do one about Carl Driggs because it kind of cools you down like air conditioning.
Absolutely. So few more bullet points here, and then we're going to play the next song that's from on the demo tape here. There's one thing I never got to mention, I believe, when I was talking to Tabitha. She told me that at the time before Carlo passed away, there was almost a signed, done, did deal And I say that he was going to be doing a show with a full-on orchestra for all this, for a bunch of Sinatra hits to be recorded. And also they were making an agreement that they were going to do a Cracker and Foxy reunion together, in which everybody was going to be full-on in, ready to do it. It was going to happen, but obviously it never happened. I just wanted to share that.
Wow.
On one of the tape, when I was talking to Tabitha, we were talking about the song Somewhere in Time. She told me there was a second version of it. I found this. I saw the label on one of the cassette tapes. It just says Somewhere in Time. And there's a, it looks like a duet with some female singer who I have no idea who it is.
Wow.
No clue. A lot of times people have always said that Omar Martinez and Carlo should do an album together. Carlo mentioned that there were been some on and off times that they were trying to get together to do a album together. You know, the two Cubans. It looks like there is a tape in there where they started to do a project together, and it's simply entitled This Side Up. From the cassette label, you know, musicians, anybody, you ever remember trying to write the songs on that little tiny J card in a cassette tape?
Oh, forget that! Oh my gosh,
it's not that you don't have the best handwriting, and you know, musicians, regardless, or you try to write on the label of a CDR or a CD, it's not easy to do, but on this, it looks, on this cassette tape, it looks like there are two songs that will be coming to light eventually. Example, there's a CD in there that it just labeled 9 songs. The number 9, 9 songs. What is it? I don't know. Eventually I'll get to it. Let's play another song from this demo tape. Raider fans will know the song Dancing in the City, which was eventually released on another of the Generic Rock 2. But this song is going back to probably 1981 when Carlo brought it to the band and they played it. So here is what would be demo/version of Dancing in the City.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear it there at the very end. Obviously, that's, again, a demo. You hear the drum machine going on, the programmed keyboards. But at the very end of the track, you hear his little ow yell that he's trademarked for.
I didn't hear that. It was very faint in and out. I don't know why. Maybe because of the way the internet's down, you have to play it. But it sounds, it kicks. From what I heard, it sounds like a really one of those, what was the name of that song? Oh, my goodness.
It reminds me of, like, when David Bowie and Mick Jagger did Dancing in the Streets for Live Aid way back, and they made the music video for it, and all the proceeds went to that. It of course, Peter Griffith on Family Guy said it was the worst music video ever made, but that's what it really reminds me of. That tape.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So, two more facts, and then we're like, well, let's do this. Let's play Louie Go Home's addition to the podcast. Shall we do that?
Yes.
All right. So,
sounds very good. What is Louie like this week?
Here is what Louie has provided us this week. It is from North Vancouver, BC, May 5th, 1984, from the Palazzo Club. It is dubbed early Beatles medley, okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you what the Beatles songs that are all crammed into this, but see how many Beatles songs you can name on this, and then when we come back in, we'll talk about it, as always. All right.
All right.
Here we go. From Louie Go Home, it's an edition. All right, that's not going to play because of the way it just doesn't. Oh, hell. All right. This is what.
Hey, that might be some damage from the heat in Florida from being in that unit, so at least you got some stuff. You salvaged. You know what I'm saying? You salvaged.
It's just a file that's not playing, so we'll just let it go at that. Let's get on to the next one and let it be. Two more things to talk about here. There's a DVD in the collection, in Carlo's collection, that just simply has three words and one number on it. It says, Cracker, 1973, Stones Tour.
Oh.
That could be, it could be either A, it's their performance from the BBC's Grey Whistle Test, or else it could actually be some live concert footage that someone got for him in the past of Cracker performing live in Europe. Who knows, right?
Wow.
I think that one will be an amazing one to look at. And then I remember him telling me that he had mixes and unreleased versions of Get Off that have never... I saw the CD. There's approximately five, I just counted them quick, five unreleased mixes and different versions of Get Off that we will have to bring to the masses one time.
Hey, we might just have to have a Get Off party one night, like when I get back around Labor Day. We should, when you'll be out, but after everybody gets unfamily visited, I think we should have a Get Off party day just as a podcast. You know what I mean? Just 6, 8, 10 songs of Get Off, different versions. Different stuff, you know, maybe Carl talking about it on one of those tapes. How does that sound?
I think that would be a good idea. That way we get them all done at once.
Yes.
All right,
because so knowing what you might have uncovered, you might have 10.
It's hard to tell till we start, because a lot of these tapes, they're labeled poorly because it's just the way anyone, musicians might be. Flip the tape over, put it on, move on, not much space to write. All right, let's close out the podcast. This is another song on the same demo tape we're playing here. This, it simply says, San Francisco a cappella. Okay?
Oh, wow. I wonder what that could be.
Let's do it.
One, two, three, four. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was gloomest of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. I it calls to me to be where little cable cars. morning fog will fill the air. I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco, high on a hill in Windy Sea. San Francisco, your morning star will shine for me.
And there you go, San Francisco a cappella. I think that's really
cool. You know, I don't know if that was going to be the Village People San Francisco, I left my heart in San Francisco, or something he wrote, but I'll tell you what, that is deep and poetic.
I think that is a good way to close out the pod. I hear a car go by every time when you're phoning in there. So thank you for calling in, Jersey Mike. Again,
I'll be home in about a few shakes of a lamb's tit or tail back around Labor Day, and I definitely think if you get back from visiting your family and my parents roll out on me, have a little tribute, because I get a little sad. I don't know about you and the family, Lee's, but I'm looking forward to the call pick-me-up of Get Off, Splash, or Drama, whatever you want to call it, Monorama.
We got a journey, and we're going to take the fans with us of Carlo's musical legacy and heritage, because there's a lot of stuff to share here. And sorry, Louie, go home. We'll get you two segments on the next podcast.
That was good.